why do I worship and serve this awesome God? One thing I want to share with you is this. God loves me. I'm so thankful to know that He loves me. And if you have a relationship with Him, then you know that He loves you with an everlasting love. John puts it this way in 4:10. He says, herein is love. He says, not that we love God, but God loved us. Paul says, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved me, and He died for me. He gave His life for me. That's why I will continue to worship Him. I will continue to celebrate the goodness of my God. I like what Jeremiah said over in Jeremiah 31 and 3. He says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me. Listen, it's a personal thing that Jeremiah says. He says, this thing was personal. It wasn't about anybody else, but He appeared unto me. What did He say when He appeared unto me? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. Jeremiah said, saying unto me, check this out, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I want to let you know, saints, we serve an awesome God who loves us with an everlasting love. There's nothing that's going to come in our lives that will hinder the love that God has for you and for me. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Not only, He says, therefore, check this out. He says, because before you even got saved, before you knew Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He says, I love you with an everlasting love. He says, and therefore, with tender kindness have I drawn you. So I want to let you know that we serve an awesome God. We can worship Him. We can praise Him. Give Him the glory that's due His name. Look what He says. He says, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do you remember where you were prior to salvation? You remember how God was dealing with your heart? Do you know what was happening? He was drawing you where? Unto Himself. We serve an awesome God. And sometimes we forget just who He is. He's God all by Himself. And listen, and there are times even in our lives when we seem lonely, when it seems we're hurting, we're going through, we still have to know and understand that we serve a loving God. And He's right there with us in the midst of what we're going through. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He says, I have drawn thee. He says, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Where to? Unto Myself. Not only that, I'm thankful for the fact that He redeemed me. He redeemed me. When I was on a slave market of sin, listen, He redeemed me. He brought me back. When the devil had me doing every anything that he wanted me to do, Jesus Christ redeemed me. The song says, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been brought back. And what did He buy me with? He said, with My blood. Psalms 103, He puts it this way. He said, who, check this out, my dear sisters and brothers, who redeemeth thy life, here it is, from destruction. I'm telling you, we don't know who we are. We don't know what we have when we are in Christ Jesus. We don't realize and understand all that God has done for us. He says, listen, He redeemed me, listen, He redeemed my life from destruction. Destruction means destruction. He redeemed my life from destruction. Not only that, talking about this same God that you and I serve. Look what He did. He crowned me with what? Loving kindness and tender mercies. Whose loving kindness and tender mercies was it? It was his loving kindness, his tender mercies. You see, we don't think about all that God has done for us. Because it's easy for us to thank him for the stuff. Yeah, for all the stuff. But when we look back, I'm so thankful that New Berean is looking back for 30 years where God has brought you from. But at the same time, continue to celebrate our God for who he is and what he's doing for us and in our lives. He said, he redeemed me from destruction. He crowned me with his loving care, with his tender loving kindness, and with his tender mercies. Tender mercies. But not only that, he's always with us. Listen, do you ever feel lonely? You ever feel like you're just by yourself? You're going through the struggle. And you don't know how you're going to get out. And what we don't realize is Jesus said, I will never leave you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Don't you know you have, even every day in your life, you have the very presence of the I am? He told Moses, he said, whatever you need, I am. Whom shall I tell them that sent me, Lord? You tell them that I am, have sent thee. You and I have the great I am. Listen, he's taken up residence in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not going anywhere. We have him living. He's tabernacling. He's living on the inside of us. He's not going anywhere. He says, I will never, never. What does never mean? Never. I will never leave you. Neither will I forsake you. He says, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. I'm not going to leave you. New Berean. 30 years he's been faithful. 30 years he has not left you. He's continued pouring out his blessings on you. And that ought to cause us to commit even the more to the work in which he's given us to do. Just in case you didn't know, God is giving you an assignment, and no one can do the assignment but you. Every soul has an assignment. What is yours? And if you don't know it, then you need to seek God and find out what it is and do it. You see, we all want to say when we get into his presence, well done. We all want to hear that, don't we? But the sad part about it is some of us going to walk around heaven smelling like smoke because all of our works are burnt up. There's no silver. There's no gold. There's no precious stones. Only thing there is wood, Abel, with wood and straw. That's all that's there. And it's all burnt up. Because what God gave us, we sat on it. We didn't do it. But I want to let you know today, find out what the will of the Lord is and do it because he's all. Listen, the word lets me know it is Christ that is in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's Christ that is working in us. So listen, don't worry about trying to get it done and get it done right. Christ is doing the work on the inside. Only thing he wants us to do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Allow him to exalt us. Zephaniah puts it this way. Zephaniah 3:17. He says, the Lord God, Jehovah is in the midst. He says, in the midst of thee is mighty. He shows himself to be mighty. He shows himself to have all power. He's mighty. Not only is he mighty, but guess what he does? He will save. Listen, he's mighty and he will save. Not only will he save, he, guess what he says? He will rejoice over you with joy. Think about it. The God of heaven, he's going to rejoice over you, and he's going to do it with joy. Listen, God is in heaven when we're doing the work that he's given us to do. He's rejoicing over us. He says, look at my saint, look at my son, look at my daughter. They are going through this a trial, it's a tribulation. But guess what? It makes me happy. I'm trying to tell you, we serve an awesome God. We don't even realize the relationship that we have with him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only that, guess what else would he do? He will rest in his love. He's satisfied in his love for you and for me. Guess what it says? So he will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. Listen, he will joy over you with singing. I'm talking about what God is doing over you and over me in our service and our love towards him. I know he's talking to a people, but guess what? Make it applicable to your life and to mine. All scriptures given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, it is profitable. It's profitable. But guess what happens though? We miss it. We'll miss it, and we'll say, well, pastor, we're a preacher. He's talking to a certain people. Listen, it's applicable. Apply it to your life. The principles and statutes of Almighty God. He goes on and says, he said, he will rejoice over thee. He said, he will rest in his love. He will joy over thee. Look, guess what it was? He will joy over you. Guess what he's doing? Singing. Imagine, God is in heaven. God is in heaven, he's singing over the saints of God. Good God from Zion. I'm telling you, you don't know who you are and what the joy that God gets from you. Listen, when you are serving him, when we worship him, when we're praising him, lifting up holy hands, doing the work of the ministry, it doesn't matter what it is. Listen, even if you're teaching Sunday school, God is, he's joyous, rejoicing over it. If you're cutting the grass, he's rejoicing over it. Because the question is, why are you doing it? I'm doing it for the glory of God. See, a lot of times we think we got to do big stuff. Anything that you do and you're saying, Lord, I'm doing this for your glory. God said, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. A lot of times we get stuck on the big stuff. God said, don't get stuck on the big stuff. Whatever you do, listen what he said. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all as unto the Lord. For the Lord ye shall receive what? A reward. It's in the book. It's in the book. There it is right there. It's in the book. What God wants us to do. But look, he said, but he goes back and he tells us, he said, the Lord, talking about Zephaniah 3 and 17, he said, the Lord is mighty. He said, Lord, is it, check this out, he's in the midst. He's in the midst. Did you know he's in the midst? He says, where there are two or three are gathered in my name, there I am, what, in the midst. Don't you know when you're glorifying him, he's in the midst. When you're working for his glory, not working for, listen, you're not working to get saved. You're doing it because you're saved. James said, faith without works is dead. Listen, we ought to be doing some stuff. We got to do some stuff. He says, he goes on, and because when we do it, he says, I am in the midst. He's walking in the midst of us. Even now, he's in the midst. He says, and not only that, he says, I'm going to rejoice over thee with joy. He says, I'm going to rest in his love. He says he will joy over me. Guess what he does? With singing. Not only that. Number four, he's my protection. Psalms 18. My protection, my deliverer. Did you not know that the Lord is your protection? There are some things that the enemy wanted to bring your way, but the Lord protected you. He's your protection. Not only that, he's my deliverer. The psalmist said, this male poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and delivered me out of all of my troubles. Have you been in trouble? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? You see, your deliverance didn't just happen. Your deliverance came from the Lord. It didn't just happen. And see, a lot of times we think stuff just happened. But he said, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. For the woman of God, for the man of God, listen, God, it should be God all the time. Somebody said, well, you're trying to be super spiritual. No, I'm not being spiritual. I'm keeping this thing real because I realize where all my blessings come from. I'm keeping this thing real. Now, you can think otherwise if you want to, but I know where all of my blessing cometh from. Every good and perfect gift, it cometh from the Father above. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from him. So why am I going to not, listen, why am I not going to contribute my blessings to him? My promotion on the job. Lord, I thank you. I didn't die in that car accident. Lord, I thank you. When the doctor gave up on me, Lord, I thank you because I'm still here. All my blessings, it comes from the Lord. He goes on and says, he's my protection, Psalms 18:2. He said, the Lord is, not will be, not was, might, no. Not that he might be. No. He says, the Lord is my rock. Listen, the psalmist made it personal. Yes, and what we have to realize, we got to make this thing personal. Listen, we have to make our Christian life personal. Yes, sir. It's about me. It's about my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the Lord is my rock. Check this out. Do you need a rock? You need some stability in your life. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Not only that, he's my fortress. Huh? He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckle. He's the horn of my salvation. Whatever you need, my God is. Whatever you need. You see, I'm going to tell them over here, whatever you need, my God is. Why don't you try him? Listen, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Why don't you put him on? Try him on. My dear sister, try him on like you did that dress. Them pretty high heel shoes. And then ask you, I then say, how you like me now? My brother, put him on like you put on that suit. Listen, not only don't just put him on, but wear him. He says he's my rock. He's my rock that can be moved by any who would do me harm. I'm telling you, you are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are somebody in Christ. Listen, you didn't just get saved. God didn't just save you and just say, okay, that's fine. No, you are precious in his sight. Why? How do I know that? Because he says, I'm your rock. He's my rock from those who would harm me. I've got a rock, saints. Not only that, he's my fortress. A place of safety. Do you need a place of safety? Do you need a stronghold? He says, he goes on and says, he says he's my place of safety where the enemy can't, check this out, he can't follow me. He can't even, brother caught it, he can't even get in. He can't, listen, once I'm in, and he can't get in. Don't you know that God has got you in a place? Somebody said, hide me in the cleft of the rock. God has got you in a place where the enemy can't come in. When you are in Christ Jesus, the enemy can't come in. Light and darkness can't dwell in the same place. He can't get in. I've got a safe place in Jesus. I've got a quiet place in Jesus. In the arms of the Lord. Listen, I can be comforted and have no worries. I'm telling you, we forget, we don't even know who we are and what we have in Christ. It's in the book. I didn't know that. Pick it up and read it. It's in the book. But he goes on and tells him, not only that, he's my shield. That listen, nothing can come between us to harm us. He's my shield that comes between us and the harm. Check this out. You know, you put that. That's why he said the shield of faith. Boom. Lord, there it is. He's my rock that cannot be moved. A fortress. A place of safety. Listen, he's a shield that comes between us and harm. I'm telling you. Y'all gonna get this when you get in the parking lot. You're gonna get this. Then he goes on today. He's the horn of my salvation. I'm securing him. He's my stronghold. High above my enemies. I've got a refuge place. I got a place I can hide. I got a place I can go. When the storms get weary. When depression comes in. When disappointment comes my way. Then when all of that stuff comes my way. I've got a place where I can go. I can go to the rock of my salvation. He's all that I need. But I'm telling you, you got to know it. God says, I know it. Listen, think about this. And we don't think about this. You have someone, you got you in the military, and you left your girlfriend at home. They send you halfway. In fact, they sent you on the other side of the world, fulfilling your duty. And then you begin to pin down those letters, and you sending them back home. To your sweetheart. Oh, you're making all kinds of plans. Oh, I want to see you. I want to spend time with you. I'm going to shower you with all kinds of gifts and presents. I want the best for you. Everything. And you're writing all of that down. And you're sending it halfway around the world. And it goes on for 4 years. That's usually about the time of a deployment, 3 to 4 years. And then you get home one day. And you tell us, honey, you remember when I wrote you and told you how much I wanted to spend time with you? I don't remember. Wait a minute. I wrote letters. I was preparing for us to get married, to buy, purchase a home. I wrote letters and I'm telling you, didn't you get my letters? And then she says, yes, I got them. But I put them on the dresser. And I haven't read them. How would that break your heart? Think about it. God has written to us love letters. 66 books. And he says that he's writing us about all of his promises and all that he loves. And guess what? We're not reading it. What does that do for the heart of God? And then when we stand before him, how will that make us feel? It's coming. He said, he's the horn of my salvation. I'm securing him. Not only that, he's my stronghold. Check this out. He says he's high above. Check this out. high above my enemies. High above my enemies. Don't you know that when you're in Christ, the Bible tells us that we're seated together now with him in heavenly places. Listen, I'm already there. When you're in Christ, I'm already there. Two things I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on either the upper taker or the undertaker. And then I'll be with him throughout all of eternity. But I'm waiting for the upper taker. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I want to be caught away, snatched away. And it might be today. It could be within the next hour, next 5-10 minutes. So that we won't be before you long, I got one more. Our God is faithful. We need to know that he's faithful. Numbers 23 and 19. Check this out. You see, he's given us precious promises from his word. But look what Moses is telling him. He said, God is not slack. Oops, sorry, in Numbers, pardon me. He said, God is not slack. Excuse me, God is not a man that he should lie. We need to stop and meditate on that just for a little bit. God's not a man, though we treat him that way. Because sometimes we'll say, I do what I want to do. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do what I want to do. God is not a man. Okay? Then he says, God is not a man that he should lie. Neither son of man or the son of a man that he should repent. Check this out. He said it. Guess what? He said do it. Okay. Is that if God said it, won't he do it? In other words, that's what he's saying. If God said it, won't he do it? Yes, he will. All the promises that he's given us, if God said it, guess what? He's going to do it. Then he goes on and said, or have he spoken? And shall he not what? Make it good. Go back to the first one. God is not a man that he should, he's not a man. And he's not going to lie about it. And God said he's going to do it. Listen, and he has no need to repent. He has no need to change his mind. But also, and if he said it, guess what? He'll do it. Grab a hold to the promises and statutes of the Word of God. I want to encourage you, New Berean, don't just celebrate for a month. Continue to celebrate our God. Continue. Don't let just 1 month. Listen, we get, 30 years to God be the glory. We're going to take it a year at a time, celebrating the goodness of our God.